Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Author Peter Zeutlin never wanted a dog. His wife finally talked him into it when they became empty nesters in New England. By some miracle, she even talked him into a rescue dog, a stray. Zeutlin had always believed, as a lot of people do, that rescue dogs are second-rate goods, damaged beyond repair. Well, now he can't imagine life without a dog, or two, or three at last count. What changed his mind about adopting a stray dog was Albie. Albie is part lab, part golden retriever, and part who knows what. Zeutlin fell head over heels for Albie. He never thought that would happen. These days, he's become so dismayed by the issue of stray dogs in America that he's written two books about it. His newest is called Rescued. It tracks former strays that have, against the odds, been given a second chance. Dogs like Albie.
Well, Albie had been picked up as a stray in central Louisiana and brought to a high-kill shelter where 9 out of 10 dogs never leave and most never last more than a week. So that's really what led me down this road and led me to write two books about rescue dogs now, in part to preach the gospel of rescue and try and persuade people to adopt and not shop when they're looking for a dog, but also just better understand the world that my dogs have come from.
I was especially touched by one thing that you have said about Albie. You look at him and you just wish that he could tell you what his puppyhood was like,
yeah,
because you know that it was not good.
Yeah. In the early days, you know, he has these big, soulful brown eyes. And I looked into his eyes and I just wanted to know his story. You know, did he ever have a family before? I wanted to know if anybody had ever hurt or abused him, how long he'd been out there wandering through the wilds of central Louisiana. And then he got scooped up and, you know, brought to a shelter, which is never a good place for a dog to have to be.
And it's amazing he survived.
He was very lucky. He had a guardian angel there, a volunteer at the shelter, who literally week by week was getting him a stay of execution with the shelter director until she could get him into the Labs for Rescue program and find an adopter for him. So he was a true underdog in every sense of the word, as most of these dogs who make it up here and find their forever homes up here. They're all underdogs.
So I'm going to get tough now, because as wonderful as Albie may be and as wonderful as rescue dogs may be, and I have personal experience that they are fantastic, there are a lot of difficulties that can come specifically with rescue dogs. I mean, they can come with any dog,
right.
But separation anxiety, lack of socialization skills because in part they may not have had families previously, barking because they've never been trained to keep it all contained and keep other things contained in the house as well. Where do those go in your kind of rationalization?
Well, first of all, if people work with a reputable rescue organization, and they should get references before they do, those organizations work hard to make sure these dogs are socialized and ready to be placed in a home. You know, they're temperament tested, they're socialized. You know, you have to appreciate that these dogs sometimes have come from difficult circumstances, but in the vast, vast majority of cases, they're so ready to be loved and to love back. Dogs, I think, draw us out of our own heads and help us to live more in the moment.
I think one of the things also fueling your passion is that there's a far greater supply than demand for rescue dogs. It's really astonishing when you look at the numbers of how many strays there are across, not even talking about other countries where you can see them on highways, streets, but in this country.
In this country, we're euthanizing, I mean, estimates vary. There are no hard statistics, but probably about 750,000 dogs a year. And people are often, very often surprised when I tell them that the picture that you painted of dogs running on highways and so forth, this is not just a third world problem. It exists here in the United States. And I learned that firsthand while working on my previous book, Rescue Road, when I spent time in Houston, where there are as a stray population of over 1 million dogs.
A million stray dogs in Houston.
In Houston alone. And you do see them running all over the roads and, you know, through parking lots. And, you know, these shelters, they're dealing with an incredibly difficult problem where they may have a shelter that can, you know, hold 100 dogs, and every week 100 more strays are coming in. And where do they go? They're dealing with a problem that in some parts of the country is really cascaded out of control.
Is that in part because of a lack of rules that have to do with neutering or spaying a dog?
At some level, that's true, that there are parts of the country where there isn't a strong spay-neuter culture, but the question is, why not? I don't have an easy answer to that. But keep in mind that if you're dealing with a population, as in Houston, of a million strays, there's no one to bring those dogs to get spayed and neutered. This problem has escalated to the point where it would take, you know, decades of a concentrated spay-neuter program in a city like Houston to begin to reduce the numbers. So,
and it takes money for the owner,
It takes money. It's often not a high priority in cash-strapped cities. And frankly, the shelters are not often high priorities for governments either when they've got competing demands from the school department, the police department, the fire department, parks, you know, sanitation. You know, who speaks for the dogs? I'm often asked when I give talks about these books, you know, what's the solution? What can we do? And unfortunately, there's no easy answer to that.
What happened in Houston, by the way, to the dogs during and after Hurricane Harvey?
This is a catastrophe not only for the people who live there, but for these animals as well. At one shelter in Dickinson, Texas, the shelter there was overwhelmed with intake and strays that were coming in. And one of those strays was a little, maybe not a stray, maybe a dog abandoned, was a little puppy just several weeks old left in a shoebox.
This is a little spotted
little black. White and black pit bull mix. And she was, when she was brought into the shelter by the person who found her, she was diagnosed with parvo, which is a very serious virus, almost always fatal if untreated and sometimes very difficult to treat. Very sick dog. And she found her guardian angel at the shelter, a man named Tom English, who came to volunteer, experienced dog rescuer who I had met while researching my previous book, Rescue Road. And Tom talked to the veterinarian at the shelter, also a volunteer, to try and work out a treatment plan for her, antibiotics and so forth. And he took her back to his house to try and nurse her back to health and to save her. And a few weeks later, she recovered.
Amazingly.
She beat incredible odds. And
she had her own Facebook page, is that right? Or Tom put her on his
Facebook
page?
Tom English started posting pictures on his Facebook page. And I called Tom after the hurricane to see how he was doing. And he told me about this little dog named Stormy. And I ended up writing an article about her. Incredibly, a doctor in North Carolina read about Stormy, tracked Tom English down. And the doctor, it turns out, is also a private pilot. He flew down to Texas and met her and ended up taking her back to his farm in North Carolina. And Stormy now has four other rescued dog siblings that she lives with. You know, very happy ending for one little dog, but God knows how many, you know, perished in that storm. But when people say to me, you know, well, why a rescue dog? Stormy's one answer. An absolutely beautiful, adorable, lovable dog that just needed someone to step up.
There are more and more people adopting rescue dogs these days. So in that way, there's some good news in here. And there are outlets that make it easier for people to maybe get indoctrinated into the rescue dog life. Tell me about an experience you had in Turks and Caicos.
We went on vacation to Turks and Caicos, to the main island down there a few years ago. And we were missing our dogs. And we found out there was a local rescue on the island that sends dogs to North America. But they always look for tourists to help socialize these dogs. So every morning, Judy and I walked over and we got to check out a puppy, gave us a little bag with treats and water and a ball, go across the street to the beach and just spend a morning on the beach with an adorable puppy. And
pet for a day with a purpose.
Pet for a day with a purpose. And if you go down there, check it out. It's called Pot Cake Place. It'll lift your spirits and you'll be doing something great for these dogs.
Peter Zoetland, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Peter Zoetland's book is called Rescued, What Second Chance Dogs Teach Us About Living with Purpose, Loving with Abandon, and Finding Joy in the Little Things.